Good evening, everybody. My name is Brant Robinson. I am in my 26th year at, 25 years at Dunedin High School, 26 years in the profession. What I really appreciate about PCTA is to be treated as a professional. The sanctity of the classroom is critical. But I also appreciate that everything that PCTA does is by consensus. It's democracy in action. And I really believe that public schools are the foundation of our democracy. So I get to model that and experience that on a regular basis with my union.
Welcome back to PCTA's Fire Podcast. I'm Brennan Pickett. I'm the FEA Director and Fire Co-Chair here at PCTA.
I'm Philip Belcastro. I'm also a Fire Co-Chair at PCTA.
I'm Anita Green, and I teach English 1.
And I do not exist.
Right.
No laughs. Okay. Well, just jokes. I'm Ramzi Aziz. I teach AP Psychology, AP Euro, and Humanities.
I haven't used that in a while. All right. So we're here today to do a new special episode. We're going to call it Aziz on the Streets. Recently, there was a protest up at the TD ballpark for the governor's baseball dinner. This was on February 16th, and it was a protest for Ron DeSantis in particular. And we sent our correspondent, Ramzi Aziz, there on the streets talking to people and seeing what was making them all tick. So, Ramzi, what was the purpose of this protest? What was going on?
So, as I'm sure the listeners are aware of, education is being attacked in the state of Florida by the current administration of the state. They're attacking the unions, they're attacking education, they're attacking what we can teach in the classroom, what we can say in the classroom. They're attacking literature that's allowed to be in the classroom. And this is extremely frustrating for teachers, parents, students alike. And recently, as of the last school board meeting, the previous one, not the last one. Yeah. A book in Pinellas County has been banned. Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eyes. People who have been frustrated by what's going on with our school board, with the state, whatnot, all coalesced in this area of Dunedin, Florida, to go ahead and basically voice their concerns.
Yet another example of this culture war kind of running rampant in the area. This is, you can listen more about this, by the way, audience, by going back to our first episode, The Gingerbread Man is not a real book, right? This is
gods. Kind
of, this is just another thing going off of that whole book banning, and it seems to have been taking off here in Pinellas and all over the state, actually. We've been seeing libraries being taken off shelves in teachers' classrooms. We've been seeing more books get banned. Here in Pinellas, we did recently ban The Bluest Eye, and this is just another aspect of it. So, thank you for that context there. We're talking about a protest just about Ron DeSantis, really, and his policies. And it was at the TD ballpark in Dunedin.
Yeah, well, it's not just about Ron DeSantis. I think as a whole, we can say what the state of Florida has been doing. So it's Ron DeSantis, but it's also the fact that the state is intervening in local politics, local administration, local communities in order to impose whatever policies that they think is favorable, popular, trendy at the time. And Ron DeSantis, as basically the figurehead of the state, is benefiting from this and with his constituency.
And it's almost like these recent attacks, it's been permeating into like the people in the area, right? He didn't ban The Bluest Eye. Someone here did.
Yes.
Right? And it's been kind of giving these people a soapbox to get on top of and to spread their own ideology. And we're seeing how this is affecting classroom teachers here in Pinellas themselves.
And the school board.
And the school board.
Yeah.
Right. So you talked to a bunch of protesters.
Yeah, I did. Who was there? So I went there to kind of, you know, interview people, see why people were going to the protest and, you know, why people are interested in even in education. And I met various different individuals. I met parents, grandparents. There was a couple young folk there as well. You know, people 20, 22, 23. So I talked to a couple individuals kind of to get their points of views and see what they think about these policies. You know, these are not individuals who are in the classroom necessarily, but these are individuals who have a stake because their kids are in the classroom, their grandkids are in the classroom and whatnot. So I really wanted to get their thoughts about this, you know, and their perspectives.
What are they concerned about?
Well, a lot of them were really concerned about the politics entering the classroom and the classroom environment. As we know, education in the state of Florida has not been the greatest and is not the greatest. And they're concerned that they're making the state and Ron DeSantis is making it significantly worse through his current policies and his current objectives.
I think one of my best friends here, Anita Green, she might have an anecdote for us about how this could be affecting us. St. P. High has been kind of immune to this recently, but there has been some parent involvement recently that has not been favorable. Anita, do you mind telling your story for us?
Yeah, no, I don't mind. So it started basically really from the most simplest of things, grammar.
Things we should be teaching.
Things you should be teaching.
Which is what we actually teach in school.
No, right. Grammar. But
it is one of the three R's, as they would say at the school board.
One of the three R's.
But somehow it just went left, and it went
too left.
Way too left. And it got to places that it shouldn't have.
This is woke grammar. We're not allowed grammar.
So the way I look at it is, it's just like, I'm listening to you guys, and I just feel like my first thought is like, yes, no, DeSantis isn't the one that's, you know, in these different counties saying, hey, do this.
No.
But I do feel as if everybody is feeding off of that energy, mm-hmm. and they're taking it and running with it beyond, and it's giving the smallest things confidence to just say and do whatever. And I think what happened with me is an example of that. So we were doing our grammar lesson. We were using Quill, which is
a district approved software.
Yes. But please say that first.
District approved. They give it to us. They tell us to use it.
The school board is paying for this software.
Right. So on that lesson, it was a paired text that came with our pre-AP curriculum. So the story that we read was The Work You Do, The Person You Are by Toni Morrison. And then another story that we read was Drowning in Dishes but Finding a Home. And the idea is that at the end of these two stories, students are able to write an essay in which they can compare and contrast the different ideas between the two stories. So as part of one of the lessons is a Quill lesson in which they're doing grammar and sentence combining. In the lesson, the two sentences that were on the lesson was, it's basically, it said who Toni Morrison was and what she's known for. And then they had to just make those two separate sentences one sentence. The thing about Quill is, if you get anything wrong, leave a comma out, forget to capitalize anything, it will mark it wrong. Right. Because that's the idea of grammar.
It's a very unforgiving program.
It's very unforgiving, and the students hate it, but the idea is repetition. Like, hopefully, maybe somebody will get it and start to recognize what needs to be done.
Is repetition one of the three R's?
Yeah, there's three R's. No, reading, writing, arithmetic, and repetition.
Arithmetic. That's
three,
arithmetic. Right? It was arithmetic.
No, there's only three.
There's only three. It's reading, writing,
arithmetic.
Arithmetic.
Repetition.
Repetition.
One, two, three, and then it's whatever.
So the sentences, pulling it up still, basically was saying that Toni Morrison is a Nobel Prize author. And then the second sentence says something, she's known for her depiction of Black life.
There we go.
And they had to combine those two sentences. So this particular student combined the sentences. However, when they combined the sentences, they didn't capitalize the B for Black life. Here where we go left.
And I mean, that's an APA standard. That's not, you didn't make that up, right?
No, I didn't
make
that up.
You didn't demand the student to capitalize Black for Black people.
Right.
But APA says it, APA, right?
Right.
If you read any papers, they'll capitalize it. It's a proper noun.
Right.
It's a proper noun.
Right.
Hold on.
That's the reality of it for me. Like, my thing is, like, are you going around lowercasing the A's in African American? Are you lowercasing the A in Asian? Are you lowercasing Hispanic? Like, are you going around doing that? No. So, like, for me, it's personal. Like, besides the outside part of it being APA and this is how you do it. A lot of Black people, me in particular, was like, oh, we're far away from, you know, African culture. So black is our representation. Like, it's my representation.
It's your identity.
It's my identity. Yeah. I am a black woman. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just plain and simple. And put some respect on my B. So that's just how I felt. So I got an email from this particular parent, and she's like, I just wanted clarification on why my I was doing homework with my daughter and she didn't capitalize the B and something about black lives, and I just wanted to know what was wrong with that. So, you know, understandably, because not everybody understands this. So
rules, yes, rules of grammar.
Right. Yeah. So I sent, let's not talk about the rules of grammar she missed in the email she sent me.
No, don't do that.
So I emailed her back explaining why. And I also included a screenshot from American Press about why you capitalized the B.
Right.
And she goes to me, oh, well, can you tell me where it is in the school curriculum that you capitalize the B and not some screenshot you got off the internet?
For all of our listeners, grammar rules are only implied from the district. In fact, the district invented English, I believe. And you must comply with these rules from the district. Otherwise, we don't speak actual English. We just speak made up words. I don't get her point. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Basically, everything you can possibly learn, the district has determined. Even in 3000 BC, at Plato's Academy,
yes.
Pinellas County existed, and it dictated education, yeah, right. Apparently, to this parent.
Yes. Every English class starts with "God Save the Queen." We are in charge of the Queen's English. We right
well, here in Pinellas County. I think Plato and Socrates, they're one of the first school board members, weren't they?
Yeah, they all spoke English.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Oh, you can't forget about Hippocrates and Theodosius and whatever. All the Greeks.
You're listening to PCTA's Fire Podcast. I'm here today with Philip El Castro, Anita Green, and Ramsey Aziz on our special episode of Ramsey on the Streets. So,
for a dollar, would you correct somebody's grammar?
No.
So thank you for that, Anita. I mean, that's eye-opening. And I think your story is just one small part in the grand scheme of all of this. And unfortunately, it is getting down to that where people are feeling now emboldened to see these things. And I think what really sparked this parent's interest was it said a few things. One, black life. Can't say black lives, right? Because then the last word comes in, then we're in real trouble.
Right.
And then, right, on top of that, Toni Morrison.
Right.
And let me ask you the big question, Anita. Should we teach Toni Morrison? Is she age appropriate ever?
Yes. I mean, like, I don't feel like, listen, when we think about what the kids are actually watching, you know how many kids I have that are watching Euphoria? Is that age appropriate? Oh my God, yeah. I don't hear no parent saying, hey, turn that off. Right. Because they're like, oh, I watch it with my mom. I watch it with my dad.
They're watching Breaking Bad in my class.
Right.
You know, like I'm walking behind them and I'm like, you're not taking notes. And they're like, no. I'm like, what are you watching? I'm watching Breaking Bad. Okay, I'm going to spoil it for you because you're not supposed to watch these shows in my class. Yeah, yeah. But we can't read books now?
I want you to kind of elaborate a little bit more on who these people were, right? The people at the protest to review. As we had said before, you think, how many teachers were there?
So there were only three teachers there, you know.
So majority community members then?
It was mainly community members.
And parents.
And parents, community members, whatnot. There were three individuals. Brent Robinson, who, amazing individual. I was with him during our DWT training day at the museums. It was great. Great conversations. He was there. He on TikTok was, he talked about this was happening. And so when I saw that TikTok, I knew I had to be there, which is why this episode is a thing now. Our co-host, Bel Castro, I told him to come with me because I've never been, you know, I'm still new to Pinellas County. I'd never been up there driving on my motorcycle. I like to have somebody with me, you know, a bodyguard. So he came up with me and, we're just going around and seeing what's happening. And I was hoping that more teachers were going to be there, but it was mostly community members, which is important. The community needs to be out here
absolutely
supporting teachers. Yeah. And
that's kind of what struck me while I was there. So I, super fan, Shannon Vincent will love this. I was late to the
event. Oh, Shannon.
Very late. Very based.
And she's, I'm sure she's going to ask me when she sees me. I have no idea why. I don't know why. I'm just late to everything.
We were recording a podcast episode.
Okay.
Yeah, and you were editing.
I was like 2 hours early.
Yeah. In any case, I got there late. But what struck me is I was surprised at how good the turnout was, how many people from the community did come to support teachers. I mean, they had signs ready to go. They kind of had their parking spots and everything picked out already. So having arrived late, I was like, wow, this is a pretty good crowd. It did seem like there weren't many teachers there, which was disappointing because I figured we could do a better job of organizing that.
No pun intended, but ballpark number, how many people were there?
there was a good amount. There were, I'd say, over 50 people.
Over 50.
It was okay. Good. Yeah, like, yeah, I took photos and whatnot.
No pun intended, but was the event at the ballpark based?
All right, you're done. Canceled.
The protest was based.
If you had to pitch another protest, how would you do it?
I'm just by the gods
over here. I'm striking out.
And that's PCTA's fire podcast.
Goodbye, everybody.
This is the final. This is the final episode.
Okay, so about 50 people, you said. Can you give me a little depiction of these people you were talking to? You're telling me we're describing who these people are. And I think it's important that people understand who these people are.
So yeah, so I talked to one individual who is who identified himself as a Christian. His sign said Jesus was woke. You know.
Now let me ask you, why are you out here today?
Oh, I'm here to let people know that I'm not very happy with the Republicans. View about wokeness, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
My sign says Jesus was woke.
Okay, can you tell me what that means? Jesus was or is woke?
What it means is what Jesus told us is that we have to love our neighbors as ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And that is the key, the whole crux of wokeness.
Okay.
Loving your neighbor as yourself.
It was, it was really fascinating. You know, this guy is talking, against DeSantis' policies. In reference to Christianity and what Christian values were, and he was basically saying that Ron DeSantis is not following Christian values through his attack on education and how he's attacking education, which was really fascinating. I talked to one very young individual who was carrying around with him a copy of Maus, which is a graphic novel that basically depicts Nazi persecution of Jewish people.
That's been on the banned book list too. Didn't we have this conversation that it's banned because it shows like a cartoon rat's butt
or
something?
Oh, Mouse. Okay, I think you're saying Moss. You're talking about Mouse.
Yeah, is it not Maus? It's M-A-U-S. Yes,
the German pronunciation, Maus.
Yes, we must say it correctly.
Maus.
Yes, mouse, moss, whatever,
Listen, I'm a Floridian. We say mouse here, sir.
Right?
I aspire to be European, okay?
This is Florida. We only got one mouse, and his name is Mickey.
Oh, God. That's not right, Mickey. Brother. But yeah, so this guy, he was carrying around a copy of Mouse, and he was also carrying around a copy of Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eyes, and he was basically telling people that we need to read these books. And I spoke with him, and he was talking about we need these books because they give perspectives, mm-hmm. perspectives outside of ourselves. And also that we need to get out, if you don't know any philosophy, Plato's Allegory of the Cave, we need to get out of the cave.
This is about people trying to give a voice to the voiceless. You want to talk about give a voice to undead children? Well, we're going to give a voice to real life children. We don't want to deny them the ability to put knowledge inside their heads. And some of that knowledge means the experiences of others. And sometimes learning about the experiences of others makes us more empathetic and aware of our world around us. So I want my kids to be aware of the world around them and not be ignorant and shoved into Plato's cave looking at shadows dance on the wall. I want my kids knowing about real life in an age-appropriate way. If you take books that have schools, you might be taking the only book in that kid's life.
Well, okay, great. So I think you were telling me earlier that people are concerned about democracy as well.
Yeah, people are concerned about democracy. And there was one individual that we spoke to who was basically elaborating how Ron DeSantis' policies and his actions go against the ideals of democracy and these democratic liberal values. When I say liberal, I don't mean liberal as in left. I mean liberal in its actual usage in political theory, which we do not learn in schools until you're in the university, sadly.
Well, it's a common thread that you can't have true democracy without a free and high quality education. If you can't have these, they go together, right? You can't have an education without democracy, and you can't have democracy without a free and high quality education.
Absolutely. As as an aspiring political theorist, philosopher, individual myself, you know, the key thing, and that, you know, in history, as we've seen, what freed people during the age of absolutism, for example, you know, in Europe, what freed people was education. The Enlightenment, if it wasn't for the Enlightenment philosopher, the academics who may have died or were persecuted because of their strive for becoming better, their strive for furthering education, furthering their ideas and whatnot, and going beyond what traditionalist molds were at the time, we would not be here right now. We would not have the freedom mm-hmm. and experience the freedom. For example, you know, we all love to talk about John Locke. You know, John Locke is an Enlightenment philosopher who went against many of the ideals of his time period to talk about and introduce this concept of liberalism. And because of that, you know, we have the system that we have now with these democratic values.
You're listening to PCTA's Fire Podcast. I'm Brendan Pickett here with Philip Bel Castro, Nita Green, and Ramsey Aziz. We are here today talking about the protests at the TD Ballpark in Dunedin. It was for the governor's baseball dinner. It was on February 16th at around 5 or 6 p.m. Moving on to our next segment, and you had personally requested this, is I'm going to ask the question here. What can people do to continue this effort that was kind of given off at the protests, and how can we have our voices be heard with these concerns? What do you suggest? What do we have here, guys?
Well, I'm like, you know, I myself, I'm calling to action, you know, teachers, the union, we need to be out there. It doesn't look good on us if it only three teachers show up to a protest. Now, of course, I'm a young 22-year-old and, you know, I get it. You got to go to Timmy's baseball game. You have a family to take care of. This was last minute. I don't deny that. But we need to be out there. We need to be taking the fight onto the streets because what we're against is loud. And I want to mention something that is a recent phenomenon. Vice News yesterday, they released an article called "The Far Right is Calling for the Execution of Teachers and Doctors." And basically in this article, they go into detail about a situation in Wisconsin where the president of a school board, Tim Norden, was sent an email and they use this quote, which might have to be bleeped out, quote, "I am going to kill you and shoot up your next school board meeting for promoting the horrific, radical, transgendered agenda. It's now time to declare war on you pedos. I'm going to kill you and your entire family," end quote, said the email, which was reviewed by Vice News. These people are loud. These people are actively against us. They're against education. They're against liberal democracy and liberal values. We as teachers are the only safeguard for generations to come.
Absolutely.
We have the education. We have the means. We need to be educating our youth, not just the three R's, not just arithmetic, but we need to be educating the children, you know, the freedom to think and the freedom to communicate.
This is so much more urgent than ever, really, because I think we have everything to lose this year, this legislative session. Like, we have so much to lose, and I don't think teachers are starting to really get it until it's going to be too late.
And we have been extremely inactive. I'm new into this career, so I cannot say anything about what teachers have been doing in the past, what the union has been doing in the past, but now is the time. We need to act. We need to be constantly on the move. We need to constantly be at the school board meeting. Here in Pinellas County, we have a lot of people from St. Pete High who's going to the school board meetings. We need all the teachers at the school board meetings.
I just want to be fair and clear that teachers are busy with our jobs and our families and personal lives. And not everybody is a Ramsey or a Bel Castro or a Brandt who can just, like, at the drop of a hat, go protest. I mean, Dunedin is like 45 minutes from where we are right now.
That was kind of crazy.
So, yeah, Pinellas is, you know, it's a peninsula within a peninsula. So, yeah. It's like to get anywhere.
It's a large district.
It's a large mm-hmm. district. We don't have great public transit or anything, so 19 is always clogged, 275 is always clogged. So to get to any one of these things, whether it's a school board meeting or a meeting at the PCTA building or any type of protest or event or even a meetup, I mean, we have mentioned before that we want to do like a brewery hang or something to just get more teachers out and know each other and see each other's faces. I mean, it's hard to get people from all over the district, you know, north and south, to just meet someplace and do a thing.
And I recognize that. It is extremely hard. Like I said, I recognize that right now I have zero responsibilities other than my job. You know,
I'm barely functional. I have just as much of no responsibilities.
Yeah, literally, it's just gym and school. That's it. And sometimes one or the other, it gets left
and
out.
As soon as you guys leave, I have to grade like 100 papers.
Anita, I want to hear your perspective, great, because, I mean, you're usually not out with us doing all this activism stuff, because you have a life, you have a daughter, but mm-hmm. what do you think people like you with families could be doing to become more active here? What do you think you could be doing better at?
I was thinking about what Ramsey was saying. I agree with the call to action, but I think with that comes awareness and having this understanding of knowing about these things. I think that kind of keeps people from doing certain things also, because especially for people like me, we can't drop the hat and go.
No,
so
absolutely.
Like being able to plan and have a date in time, like, oh, I can set this aside to do this. I can plan for this. And by, you know, being able to push out that information in some way, shape, or form, and letting people know ahead of time, I think that'll get people to, you know, possibly show up.
Yeah. Can I do like a brief survey of just us here?
Sure.
When we agree to go do things like events or with our friends or whatever, what is our like mode of delivery and like our time frame, our time scale? Like I'll say for myself, social media wise, I hang out on Instagram. That's it. I could not care less about Facebook. I don't read emails. All emails are junk. I don't look at them. Mm-hmm. I don't look at Facebook. Facebook is a one-way street to me.
Right.
It's just reposts from Instagram. But if I see an event on Instagram and it's like this weekend or within a couple of days, like, oh, I do want to check out that market or that concert or whatever. So that's for me. What is that like for you guys?
As a Gen Zer, you know, I'm on Instagram and TikTok, you know, mm-hmm. like our students. I am on TikTok, not all day, but I am on there. Even with this, like, you know, protest, I didn't find out about this on Instagram. I didn't find out about this through our emails with the PCTA or through Brennan and through TikTok, you know, yeah. because Brent talked about it on TikTok. So, you know,
that was like a last minute thing.
Right.
It
true.
Happened it's a, to be it available.
Is, it, true.
But generally it, speaking, it, like when we invite you to stuff,
yeah, no.
what is your lead time that you need?
Like literally you tell me, let's jump, and I'm out the window, you know?
I'm always about a few days in advance because yeah. I don't have kids, but, I mean, right. I still have my wife. I have to make plans for dinner. I got to give right. her a heads up, right? I think for me, if we're talking about how to get our voices heard, right, I've been saying this every single episode during our intermissions, but follow along me here, guys. myfloridahouse.gov/findyourrepresentative. You need to know who represents you, and you need to know who to call. Calling's great. Mm-hmm. And who to message. Currently, we're trying to lobby and go to Tallahassee and meet these people. I think the biggest problem, we talked about this last episode with Brent, and it was we are being held accountable constantly. Like that word, right. accountability. Teachers need right. to be held accountable. But we are not holding these people who are in office accountable for what they are doing to us. And because of that, they're allowed to make rules and they're allowed to pass legislation. And it is constantly coming back onto us to the point where it's going to break the entire system. We need to go out and make these people hear us. And I think that's why that protest was so important, yeah. right? Yeah. It was because we needed Ron to hear this. We don't want this.
And like I said, Ron was there. He might have watched us. He might have seen us. He might have completely ignored us. He definitely heard us, you know. And as you'll hear in some of our clips, we were chanting pretty loudly. We had a speaker. We had the mic. We were out there. We were making noise.
To the credit, I will add, to the credit of the people who run the baseball stadium and the Dunedin police, nobody harassed any of the protesters, which was nice. I was
yeah.
kind of,
nice to meet
you know, and we mentioned earlier how there were no young kids. I could see why somebody wouldn't want to bring like a little kid to this.
Yeah.
Because people just drive their cars through these things now. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
So the Dunedin authorities there and the people at the ball field were very nice and kind of allowed everybody to stay on the sidewalk and do their thing.
Yeah, they were cool. They were cool. I will second that. They were dope. Didn't have any issues in that regard.
Well, I think with that, we're going to end the episode here, but we're going to take a quick little break, and when we get back, we're going to do our BASED Awards, guys, so stick around.
Hey, guys, it's Brennan. One of my goals moving into this podcast project was to have the voices of our listeners play an active role in sharing our message that Unions Public Schools, well, they're not going anywhere without a fight. And as we dive deeper into the themes of public education, teachers' unions, and political activism, we want to hear from you, our listeners. If you're a teacher, parent, even a member of the community, we extend an open invitation for you to send us a voice recording with your name, occupation, and why you're sticking with the union during these politically turbulent times. We love to play these recordings at the beginning of our episodes and share your thoughts with our listeners. You can send these recordings to PCTAFYRE, that's F-Y-R-E, pod, at gmail.com. Additionally, we encourage you to write to your representative and advocate for teachers' unions and public education. You can easily locate your representative by visiting www.myfloridahouse.gov/find-your-representative. Your voice can make a difference in supporting education and the future of our students. So take a moment to send us a voice clip and write to your representative. Let's work together to positively impact education for all.
And we're back. Okay, so as always, we're going to end on our based awards today. And of course, we have the OG himself, the real one. Tell us what a based award is, buddy. Give us your best.
All right.
Back from the walls.
I'm back from the walls. I climbed out of the walls just for this episode. But basically, what is a based award? Well, basically, it's something that's either agreeable or so insane that it's respectable. You know, so you can say that something is based, or you can say that's very based. You know, there's many different levels. It's a multi-tool. You know, we're just having fun with it.
Yes. So, you know, I'll go first.
Go ahead.
We're reading a speech in my class for AP language, and the speech is written by Sonia Sotomayor, who is a famous Puerto Rican, right? Now, me, I have somewhat of a Spanish background, so I can pronounce her fancy words, but
Supreme Court Justice.
She is a current Supreme Court Justice, right? And
that's pretty based.
They're reading her 2001 speech when she was an appeals judge. So, I mean, it wasn't when she was an actual, Supreme Court, whatever. It is extremely base watching these kids stumble over how to say her name, how to pronounce any of the Spanish words, and it's just me kind of correcting them constantly. Sonia Sotomayor? Yeah, Sotomayor.
In Miami, everybody would be saying it correctly.
And that's why I must go to the Miami.
No, do not go to Miami. As a former Miamian, I will say, never go to that place. That place is terrible.
So
everything the light touches, that dark place, that's Miami.
That's Miami, yes.
Oh, I thought that was St. Pete.
So wasn't necessarily respectable. It wasn't necessarily agreeable, but it was pretty based watching me correct them left and right.
Well, you know what? That's what's respectable.
It was pretty based.
That's pretty based.
I was like, no. It's Puerto Ricania.
So I'll go next. For me, on Monday the 20th was our DWT day. As a social studies teacher, the only social studies teacher in this episode. That's pretty cringe. All right, what was I saying? Well, as a only social studies teacher, we had the option of either going to Clearwater to do trainings, or we could go ahead and go to museums in St. Pete. So me, the day that I saw that we could go to the museums, I picked those options. I didn't expect to see anybody I knew there. But I did see Lee Bryant and Branch Robinson. And we went to the Western Museum. What was it called again?
We went to James Museum.
Yes. The James Museum. Yeah. That was my first time there. As I said previously,
Did you see the bar?
Yes, I did see the
bar.
The bar's
cool.
Oh, it's super cool. Super cool. Like, definitely a place I would hang out. But
the museum bar.
Yes.
It's so cool, dude.
It's so cool. No, you have to see it. You haven't seen it. That's why.
No,
we'll explain it at the end. Go on.
But anyways, what was I saying? So yeah, we went to the museum, and you know, I was having good conversations with both about Bryant and Lee. And, you know, we saw some really phenomenal paintings. I probably would not have gone. I had heard about the museum, but you know, I'm a European fanatic, as one would say, a Francophile. So Western art doesn't really particularly interest me, but after going there, I definitely will want to go there again to see more. And then we also went to the Holocaust Museum, and at the Holocaust Museum, I was with Brant. Lee went to another museum. I don't remember. But We had a good conversations there as well, and that one was like really phenomenal. I definitely would like to take my students there on a field trip one day.
So about this bar, okay? I tell everyone you need to see this bar. It's really cool. It's
you like, did tell me to go see the bar, and I did go to the gift shop just to go see the bar.
Yeah, it's at the gift shop. It's an old-timey San Francisco Western bar from like the Gold Rush days, and like it's old, and they shipped it in from San Francisco. Oh, it's legit, dude. It's a really cool bar.
I did touch it. I did like have visions.
He touched it.
I touched it, and I had visions of being a Gold Rush miner, and wow. like the
did
early.
You give your best John Marston. Like I need a rum.
Yes, I became John Marston for
Spurs
a moment.
Clinking yeah. as you walk in.
I went there and had an iced tea and a sandwich. This is a good place
you
to sit.
To,
and like,
you don't have to pay to get in the museum to go there, right?
I think you do.
To go to the gift shop? I don't know. I don't think so. I didn't pay because I was there for the training.
Right.
But I don't know for the gift shop. Just try it. Just roll the dice. You know, be a little dicey.
If you walked in, you're like, "Hey, I'm here to just buy stuff." They'd be like, "Okay."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Go in.
Go in, buy stuff.
I don't want to look after at you. Anything. I don't want to see any art. I'm just here to spend money.
Yeah. I'm here to spend money.
Yeah, take a seat.
Yeah.
Enjoy your chicken sandwich, sir.
Right.
For our listeners, the James Museum downtown is it's one of the more expensive museums that we have in downtown St. Pete. But if you have a library card, you can go get the free museum passes.
Oh, you can reserve
it. I'm pretty sure the James Museum is on that list.
And on Tuesdays, if you're a teacher, I think you go for like reduced price or for free. But you got to check the website. And then also, whenever they have a new exhibit, teachers do get in for free.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's nice.
Anita Green, what is your BASED award?
Okay, I'm going to be a loser. And I'm going to say the BASED award goes to you guys for having me here and for doing this in general.
Aww.
Solidarity is great and all, but it's with the friends we make along the way.
That's very BASED.
We appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure to hang out.
Thank you for coming. I mean, hopefully, I don't know, we'll have to listen in the edit, but we are in my kitchen doing this, which is not our normal location.
My man's making a pizza in the back right now.
Yeah. So if you hear pizza refrigerators and people stomping upstairs and dogs barking and chainsaws and leaf blowers, it's because I'm like in the kitchen, which is like right here. Roommates just banging on the walls and stuff. Is it my turn for my?
It's your turn. Okay. BASED time.
Well, I guess I could. This is more losery. I think my BASED award is for myself because I'm proud of myself for my gym accomplishments. I'm here with my personal trainer Ramzi Aziz, who goes and kicks my butt at Crunch Fitness, where we run into all of our students and teachers who work in the city. I've never seen. Well, I mean, when I was a teenager, I would never set foot in a gym. I'm surprised I'm doing it now.
Right.
But I don't know what I would think if I saw a teacher in the gym. But we see quite a few of our students. Yeah. So, but my accomplishment is I started this process of getting in shape for Space Force. That is the reason for this. Right?
He will be a Galactic Marine.
I will be Master Chief soon. About the same time we started the podcast. So it's been about 4 weeks-ish. And in that time, I managed to lose about 6 pounds. And I've gotten my mile run down to about 11 minutes from 12 minutes. Dang. So
we're
going to drop it down to 5 minutes. Trust me.
5 minute miles. Get ready.
So no, I'm not at a 5 minute mile. I'm at an 11 minute mile. So I would like to get down to 10 minutes. But I still have a long way to go. I still need to lose about like 20 to 30 pounds or so. That's kind of my goal. It's also the Space Force's goal. That's what they've asked me to do.
So, it's gotta go fast.
So I'm up to the challenge, but slow and steady, and that's healthy progress. So that's my BASED award.
Well, that is pretty BASED.
Yeah, it is.
And thank you, Ramzi, again for being my personal daily trainer here.
So much love. And that's what we have for today, guys. So thank you again for listening to PCTA's Fire Podcast. As always, I'm Brennan Pickett. I am the FEA Director and Fire Co-Chair.
I'm Philip Belcastro, Fire Co-Chair.
I'm Anita Green, English 1 teacher.
And I'm Ramzi Aziz, and I have to go back into the walls.
And until next time, see you guys later. Peace.
Peace.
Do you have any particular thoughts on like his policies with education? Any thoughts on the book banning?
Travesty. It's horrible.
Yeah.
He's moving our educational process backwards so far.
I see.
And in Florida, the educational process has had problems for years. Florida has been behind other states in educational quality. You know, we can't afford to lose anything, and DeSantis is just setting us back so far.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Hey everyone. We would like to remind our listeners about important school board meetings taking place on March 21st and April 11th at 10 a.m., as well as a 5 p.m. meeting on April 25th. Remember, it's vital for teachers, parents, and community members to attend these meetings and advocate for public education. Your voice and presence can play a significant role in shaping the future of education and improving the lives of students in our community. We want to give a special thank you to Philip Bel Castro for providing our theme music, and Artifact for adding some great tracks into our intermissions. If you haven't already, be sure to check out Artifact's music at artifactjoints.bandcamp.com. We also want to express our gratitude to Radio St. Pete for airing our podcast, Jamie Beck, Brian Balton, Carla Correa, and Nancy Filardi, as well as all of our supporters in the education community. Your support and dedication has been instrumental to getting the word out and reaching new listeners. Well, that's all for today. I'm Brennan Pickett. You guys have a great day.